we talked about,
you know, just
the, I think I noticed that there,
they were
more,
there is it.
It'll be here. Listen to this. It'll be here. Are you? I know it's here. We played this back while we were sitting there. In a minute, I'm going to fit.
'65.
Did you come directly to Pittsburgh? Did you have relatives in New York? Or
I had brothers. There were two brothers here before he came.
In the Pittsburgh area?
In Pittsburgh area.
And they were working and then
they
brought the rest of the family?
Had a horse and wagon and pedaled from here to the Little Washington in fact.
And where did he meet your mother?
He knew her from Germany.
He brought her with him?
No, they were married.
I believe it was.
About 10 years after they were here, he was here.
But he knew her.
They had met.
What part of Germany did your father come from?
A town by the name of Pirnheim. And my mother came from a little town walking distance from there. I can't tell you what it was. That's the way it was done in those days.
And they had three children?
They had four.
Four.
As a matter of fact, I had five. One only lived for a few months after he was born. And I had a sister. I had an elder sister. This is one time.
Yes.
And Edgar Hoffman. Edgar Jonas Hoffman. And then there was a other child born named Herbert who only lived for a very short time. I think only a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister Martha and myself.
What was your place in the family? Were you the
baby? I was the unexpected baby.
Pleasant surprise.
Yeah, but my mother was about 44.
Really? Can you tell us about the home life when you were growing up, the atmosphere in your house, the religious atmosphere, was there much of any?
Not particularly, no. My father and his brothers were all associated with the Rotoschule in the early days of the Rotoschule. And I think they were all charter members,
mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly. But other than financing or helping in the financing, they were never very active.
You didn't observe a lot of, like, Friday night things in your home and
never.
Stuff like that. What about...
No, not that I can remember.
What about the economic situation as you were growing up? Were you fairly, in a position that you were fairly well off, or was it still a struggle when you were young?
When they were young. When they were young, there was a struggle, actually.
Right.
They went from peddling to going with a horse and wagon and finally settling on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Street. Was a small shop, and I think my father was the only one at that time who was single. He slept in the shop.
Why?
Yeah, to save money. And, some, and somebody to watch it.
That's interesting.
And actually, after he was married, brought his bride to the country. They lived over in the north side on Pennsylvania Avenue. I was born over there, Pennsylvania, in the house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were born in the home?
That was,
yeah, you were born in the home?
Oh, sure.
That was typical.
No, right.
Sure. Nobody went to the hospital unless they wanted to die.
That's what hospital
is. That really what you thought, isn't it? Yeah. That's
I,
really.
I didn't think about it. That's what everybody thought about.
Mm-hmm. So economically, as you were growing up, though, you were in better situations.
I'd say it as well off as most immigrants of that time.
What about culturally? Pittsburgh, when you were growing up, did you partake in a lot of that kind of thing? Or were you basically working family that...
I was always a working family. I went to work when I was 18. And...
the store on Carson Street, what type of store was that?
What type was it? It was a little 20-foot front store, and mostly men's wear and yard goods. But women made their own clothes in those days, and yard goods business was a big business.
Mm-hmm.
And a little odds and ends of notions, buttons, and you know, that kind of stuff that goes with home making. But it was primarily the clothing end of it was men's, not even boys, just men's clothing. Because it was an industrial district that started.
Mm-hmm. Right near J&L, right?
It's very close by there. It was on Carson Street, 1960 mm-hmm. Carson Street. And most of the men's things were work clothes.
Industrial area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything about Pittsburgh politically as you were growing up, or were you involved in that then, or was it later?
I've never been involved politically at any time.
What about cultural Pittsburgh? Did you take part? Did you go to the symphony if there was, to plays?
Well,
I'm talking now about more when you were younger as opposed to older, we'll get to that later.
Yes, I think I went with my mother to the symphony. They were one of the Kaufman brothers were one of the founders of the first symphony, not this one. This isn't the first symphony.
Oh, I see.
Which brother? Do you remember? Or I thought you said one
Isaac,
of the...
Isaac? Yeah.
That was your uncle.
Isaac, yeah.
Now, about your education, your secular education.
When you say which brother, the brothers were all together in the business
yes.
until 1912.
Right.
The eldest one who came to this country first, Jacob Kaufman,
mm-hmm.
Died in 1905. It was either 1904 or 5, I don't know which. I think it was 1905 when my sister was married that year, the eldest one. And then the Jacob Kaufman family had 5 sons. And Isaac had 1 daughter.
Mm-hmm.
My father had 2 sons, Edgar and myself. So in 1912, when Henry Kaufman would have lost his daughter few years before she died, and his wife wanted to move back to New York where her family came from. So he retired in 1912, and my father and Isaac purchased his interest, and at the same time purchased the interest of the Jacob Kaufman boys.
And now, is that when the Kaufman and Bear kind of thing split away from Kaufman?
Kaufman and Bear was formed then.
And that was the Jacob Kaufman children?
Family. And Mr. Bear, who was he? He married one of the Kaufman girls in Germany. I don't know which one of them were.
I have a big family tree. I'm sure I could find it.
I have it.
Do you?
And so that the incorporated, that was a business up to 1912 was a partnership between his four brothers and their family, naturally. Mm-hmm. And when the time came to Henry Kaufman wanted to get his money out of it, and my father and Isaac decided to form the corporation, and the Jacob Kaufman boys that were left thought that they should own the business. Mm-hmm. So they were bought out. When I say bought out, their partnerships were paid off. And with that money, they opened up the company.
Did your family mind that they opened a competitive business?
Oh, you mean were we friendly?
Yes.
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you tell us about your education and your family?
As far as our family was concerned, we really didn't care.
Okay.
Your particular branch of the family. Mm-hmm.
And Isaac Kaufman.
Mm-hmm. You felt that you were a good enough merchant you could take on any competition.
That's right. Well, they didn't stay in business very long.
No, they were bought out by Gimbel's.
And these were the, I just wanted to clarify, these were the sons of Jacob Kaufman, who formed.
And others out of the store, who our family had brought over from Bloom and Bear and Ludwig Kaufman, who's a cousin way back. I can't remember anymore. But none of them owned the business. Just the four brothers did. And actually, Jacob Kaufman boys inherited Jacob Kaufman's interest. And they thought that they, being seven, five boys, that they should operate the business. And they were only in business, I think, until either just before the First World War or right after, when Gimbel's bought. Mm-hmm.
How were you educated?
I was educated in public school, and then I went to Shadyside Academy. And I think I graduated there.
I'm sure you did.
I'm not so sure of anything anymore, but I mean, they say I did anyway, put it that way.
All right.
They list me as graduating, and I went to work.
What about your brothers, sisters? Did they have the same type of education? Did they all finish at the end of high school? Did anyone go to college?
All finished in high school. Edgar went to Yale for 1 or 2 years. Back in 1903, I think it was. And I fortunately was in the business for about 1 year before my father died, which was in 1917. And then I spent almost a year up in Jordan Marsh in Boston.
Mm.
We were very We were associated.
Jordan Marsh was in Boston then.
Yeah. In Boston, yeah. Oh. That's where the original store. And we had offices in Europe together. So that I went up there and spent a year, or pretty near a year, finding out how they did, how they worked. And then I came back here.
Families often feel that it's better to have, not to train your own family within your store, to send them someplace else and then bring them back. Do you think that that's part of the reason?
I think that's a good thing. It was in those days mm-hmm. because Jordan Marsh had a great reputation. And we were very fortunate to be associated with him in European offices. So that I was welcome up there and was treated as one of their sons. And then I came back here and they said my father died in 1917, in the fall of August or October. And then after I was back here for about a little less than a year, I was drafted in the Army.
Where were you during World War I?
I was in the Motor Transport Division, and I was driving a garbage truck down in Jacksonville, Florida.
You didn't go overseas in World War I?
No.
Can you tell us a little bit about, we talked a little bit earlier, about the health care and the medical services when you were growing up. Was there anything that you remember? Do you remember the swine flu epidemic and things like that? And did they affect your family?
I really can't remember. I mean, I know I remember one thing. I had appendicitis.
Oh.
In 1910, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I was about 12.
Where were you treated
I was about
for
12
that?
Years old. And I was treated for that at home.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
You mean the surgery was performed at home?
No.
Oh.
With ice packs.
And then, it went away?
No, and then I became worse, naturally. And after my father went to work, my mother got a hold of the doctor. Doctor.
Who was the doctor?
Sains.
Dr. Sains, yeah.
Well, not the one that's out of West Bend now. That's his son.
His son. Was that Gilbert?
I don't know really what his first name mm-hmm. was.
Mm-hmm.
And they bustled me off to the hospital and operated on me.
Before your father knew it, right?
And when he came home, he found out and he raised the roof because everybody went to the hospital to die. They didn't go to the hospital in those days to live.
To recover.
Mm.
They were pest houses.
Sure.
What hospital was that at that time?
West Penn.
West Penn.
I think it had just been opened or something, if I remember correctly. I don't remember too much about it.
Well, you were quite young. You were 12 years old, you said.
Yeah, I was 12 years, no, 14, 19, I think it was 1910, I was 12 years old.
Do you remember anything about the recreation when you were young, a lot of sports? Was your recreation mostly school-oriented when you were growing up?
Sure, sure.
Did you go after school, work in the store?
I worked in the store every Saturday and every holiday. And that was one of the things you did. You went to business with your father. Well, after he died, we moved from the house we lived on Beacon Street, I think a year later. And my mother lived with Stella Mundheim, and I lived with Edgar, my brother.
Did Stella live in Pittsburgh then?
Yeah, her husband was running the business.
Oh.
Her husband came in 1912 when they incorporated.
What was his name, Mr. Calvin?
Samuel Mundheim. He was the king of Derby.
Oh, really?
King of the biggest Derby manufacturer. Nobody wears a Derby now, but
everybody
did then. And he came on here father and my uncle, who was older than Edgar, and he stayed until 1923. And that's when Irwin came into the business, and either the end of 23 or beginning of 24, I don't remember mm-hmm. exactly which. One brother-in-law went out, and the other one came in. Same month I went back to New York and had some interests of his own, and he bought the Stern Brothers and quite a few other associates. And Irwin came up from Paraloon, St. Louis, I don't know where he was.
The cotton business, wasn't it?
I think his father was, yeah. I think he was too. With his father.
Mm-hmm.
And that was either the end of 23 or the beginning of 24, I don't remember exactly.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about your courtship and your marriage and your children, briefly? Yeah.
I don't talk about my courtship.
You don't? No. Why not? Wasn't it fun?
Well, naturally.
Good. Well. How did you meet Ian Francis?
In a saloon.
Really? Okay.
Where did we meet? I don't know.
What year were you married?
1921.
1921.
It's a long time, and you won't even remember where I met her. I'm more likely met her in East Liberty and walked on the street. Said, there's a good looking chick, and
absolutely.
I don't know who it is.
I mean,
I don't know. You mean, how'd we get together?
Yeah.
Ask her.
Okay. Okay. Sure, remember.
I really don't remember.
What about your children?
Hmm?
Your children.
My children? No. We had three. We had three, two living. I mean, Joan is the eldest. And I believe she was born 1923 or 24.
I'll check it out.
Somewhere around.
Okay.
She's 23, because I think she says she's. I don't know. It was about two or three years after we were married. And then the boy came along after that. And that was 1929. And Judy, the last child, Judith. Born in 1934, if I remember. They're about 5 years apart, so Joan was born, I guess, in 1924.
Mm-hmm.
We worked on a 5-year plan.
5-year plan.
And,
we were ambitious.
Just briefly about your sisters and brothers and their marriages and their children also.
Well, my sister married Sam Mundheim,
right.
Actually, and they had two children, Louise and Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
And Louise finally.
Okay, that will happen.
A young rabbi by the name of Gerstenfeld.
And they lived in Washington, right?
Well, no, I think originally they lived in New York, and then mm-hmm. I think he went to Washington and took over the temple there and became the chief rabbi. I think the original, where they originally lived, was in New York. And Marshall, the other child of Stella, Sam, married a South American called and maybe Gonzales, I think, if I remember correctly. And they have two children.
Mm-hmm.
The boy is named Marshall also. He's an attorney in New York. And the girl is
That's okay. We'll find it.
She's married to a Frenchman who lives in Paris. I can remember, but I can't this minute.
Okay. I know. It's difficult to keep track.
You had talked to me last year this time. I wouldn't have heard anything.
Right. We're very fortunate to be here.
I'm glad I can remember as much as I can. But my wife was here. She could tell you all these things.
Fill in the little details.
Oh, yeah. Many more than I can.
And Edgar was married Lillian.
Married his cousin. First cousin.
First cousin.
Isaac's daughter.
Isaac's daughter.
That's right. And they had one child.
And it's Edgar Jr.
Edgar Jr.
And Martha married her one.
Certainly, yeah.
Right. And they had...
You know what they had.
Three children, yes, I know. I'll fill that in.
They had three children, and they had children.
Right. You told us a little bit about how your family started the store. Were the responsibilities of the store divided among the brothers? And can you tell us a little bit also about how it expanded?
Well, I think in the early days, they went on the road, you know, the packs on their back, and then finally they had a wagon and went down to Little Washington in the back with their dry goods. And they each went different ways. One went north, and the other went west, and south. And then they finally settled down and had opened the store in 1960s, South Carson Street, south.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved shortly after that over to a small store, also a 20-foot front store, opposite Barnes and Noble's on the north side. And they moved to the corner of Diamond and Smithfield Street.
Mm-hmm.
And really not to Diamond, but Diamond and Fifth Avenue. It was a corner store on the corner there. And then as they expanded, it was a five-story business then in that corner.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, when they moved there, they moved to a five-story.
Yeah. I think they built it, as a matter of fact.
Is that when it became more department store as opposed to haberdasher?
Oh, yeah. It became a complete department store. And then, I don't know, 1909 or something like that, the Diamond, the Smithfield and Diamond corner was built. It was a separate building. And then, in 1912, when the corporation was formed, and the boys went down the street and went to Colton and Bear, they built the prison building that's on the corner of 5th and Smithfield. Not all the way back, just to the alley.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a 14-story building, and one that they had built in 1907 or 8 next door to it was on the 8-story building.
Mm-hmm.
And then the back building that was built in 1953, if I remember correctly, 52 or 53, which was where the original Carnegie office building was. And see, your Irwin died in 53? 4?
No, 56.
56. Well, then this was built in 53 and 54, I'm not sure. but in that, at that time.
I'm going to turn the tape.